Enzo edged closer to the innermost edge of the trou and saw that the fissure in the cliffs ran 100 yards back from the sea. In the dark it was impossible to see how deep it went, but the roaring of inrushing water was almost deafening, amplified by the widening of the chasm toward its topmost edge, which created a megaphone effect. He turned, then, criss-crossing the ground ahead of him with a beam from his flashlight, and steered a safe course between the ropes out toward the distant point. As he approached the one-time German gun emplacement, he saw that it was little more than a concrete platform surrounded by a low, broken-down wall. Beyond it lay a slab of concrete at ground level, the roof of the bunker where soldiers on duty must have spent their days and nights sheltering from the elements. The ground around it was strewn with rock and smashed-up pieces of the gun mounting. He picked his way carefully through them until he reached the steps leading down to the door of the bunker. They, too, were broken and overgrown. He trained his flashlight into the dark below, picking out empty beer cans and the detritus of tourist picnics and teenage misadventures. The acrid smell of stale urine rose to greet him. He stopped to listen but could only hear the wind and the sea. "Hello!" he called, and his voice was immediately whipped away in the breeze and lost in the ether. His earlier apprehension was hardening into fear. He should never have come. He looked back in the direction of the car park. He had a clear view in the moonlight now toward the distant trees. There was no one to be seen, nothing to be heard. He could simply head back to his car and drive off, back to Port Mélite and Charlotte, to ask her what she had meant about the child being hers and not theirs. To hell with Adam Killian and his damned secret messages. What did any of it matter anyway? But he didn't move, the beam of his flashlight still directed into the darkness below. He cursed his own stubborn stupidity as he touched his fingertips to the wall and began making his way down to the opening where once a steel door had shut out the wind and rain. The door was long gone, as was the glass and even the frame in the window opening beside it. His foot struck an empty beer can that clattered away into the dark, and he stood still again, listening once more before swinging his flashlight through the doorway and directing its beam into the bunker. A shadow passed through it. He heard a rush of air and something flew into his face, something soft, flapping in panic. He thought he heard a distant scream before realizing it was in his head, and he called out involuntarily. The flashlight almost fell from his hand as he raised his arms to protect himself, and then it was gone, whatever it was, into the night. And all that he could feel was the pumping of his heart, and all he could hear was the rasping of his breath. A bat? A bird? He had no idea. But his legs were like jelly. He saw now that the bunker was empty, graffitied walls, a floor strewn with litter, the stink of human waste. He turned and ran quickly back up the steps, and as he emerged onto the open sweep of the cliff tops, he felt how the wind had got up, stronger than before and softer in his face. A change of weather. Milder air from the southwest, and with it large swathes of dark clouds scudding overhead. For a moment the moon was obscured, just as if someone had flicked a switch. The landscape around him was plunged into darkness. And then light washed again across the cliffs, racing in from the sea and off across the rise of the land toward the northeast. Enzo stepped up onto the broken cement plinth of the gun emplacement and looked around. There was no one to be seen anywhere. This had all been a wild goose chase. Someone's idea of a joke, perhaps. Damn them, whoever they were. Well.